Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse in the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Umnikne Rav. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse in Shabbos Parshas Matos and Masei, which that year was the 28th day of the month of Tammuz, which is also the Shabbos that blessed the month of Benachemov in the year Tav Shin Chaf, which is exactly 65 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in the Torah portion where it says, "Umikne Rav Hayo Levnei Ruvain Levnei God," that the tribe of Ruvain, the tribe of God, had a lot of cattle, and they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, "Look, on the other side of the Jordan is a place to take care of our sheep," and they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, "Give us the land for an inheritance." So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to them and starts to rebuke them. And he reminds them the story of the spies. They didn't want to go into the land of Israel. But after the whole argument, Moshe Rabbeinu told them, "Im techolzu lefnei Hashem," if you go forward and you enter in the land of Israel and you're in the front lines and you fight for the conquering of the land of Israel, then I'll let you have the other side of the Jordan for an inheritance. In other words, what do you see from here? That the initial argument of the tribe of God and the tribe of Reuven is like the argument of the spies. They didn't want to go into the land of Israel. But only when they made the condition that if they go ahead and they wage war ahead of the Jewish people to conquer the land of Israel, then it's going to be something good. So initially it's not good, but if they wage war, it's going to be good. So the Alter Rebbe explains this idea in the Chassidic discourse. And also, a Chassidic discourse called the Mikne Rav from the Tzemach Tzedek, and also from the Rebbe Marash in the his Sefer Maamarim in the year Tafresh Chavtes, and they give an introduction with the idea that we know that the Avos, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were shepherds. They took care of the sheep. Why were they shepherds? Because they wanted to be disconnected from the world. So when they disconnect from the world, taking care of sheep, they can serve Hashem without any distractions. And that's the whole idea of serving Hashem, learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, and therefore they chose to take care of sheep. So this way they don't have to deal with the world, and the world wouldn't disturb them. And that was basically the argument of the spies. They didn't want to go into the land of Israel, because they said going into the land of Israel is actually a downgrade. And it's better to stay in the desert, and you don't have to deal with anything physical from the world. And especially we know that they were called a Dor Dea. They were considered a wise generation. And who received the Torah? Those that actually ate the manna. And they had the water from the well of Miriam. And their clothing was from the clouds of glory. In other words, everything they needed. Food, clothing, it wasn't materialistic, it was spiritual. And therefore they don't want to go into the land of Israel and to deal with the physical world and transforming the world, because they said that the land eats up its inhabitants. In other words, that when you go into the land of Israel, you have to deal with the physical part of the world. And they're going to elevate the world. But the problem is, yes, they might be successful in elevating the world, but it's possible the opposite is going to happen, that they're going to have a downgrade. And in their words, that the Eretz Yechelos Yishvael, that the land eats up its inhabitants. So that was the argument of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, just like the spies. So comes along Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Toiva Aretz Ma'oid Ma'oid. The land is not just good, Ma'oid, very good. In other words, in life there's a lot of things which are good, but if you want to get the real prize, ma'id, ma'id, double good, that happens specifically when you go into the land of Israel and you work the land to reveal the good that's in the land. And then you can reach the ultimate greatness, completion, and goodness. Ma'id, ma'id, because basically the upgrade of ma'id, ma'id comes only after the downgrade. Yes, dealing with the land, dealing with the physical part, but then you can reach the real ma'id, ma'id. And as we know, that the downgrade, dealing with the land, it's the purpose is for the upgrade. And it's not enough, you're going to say, one second, but the fact is my soul came down to my body. I'm dealing with an animal soul. But it's not enough, because even the spies agreed of coming down to the world of thought, or even in the dealing with the world of speech, but who wants to get involved in the physical world? But on the other hand, when you come down into the physical world, in the world of action, that's when you reach the highest level of Moed Moed. And that's when the tribe of Reuven and tribe of Gad said they wanted to stay in the other side of the Jordan and just take care of the sheep, that's basically they were giving the same argument as the spies. But when they went ahead and made it the condition that we're going to go ahead and we're going to fight for the land of Israel, we're going to help you conquer it, and that means we're going to go and self-sacrifice to go into the land of Israel. So after that introduction, then they can go ahead and stay in the other side of the Jordan. Why is that? Because when they're willing to go on self-sacrifice to conquer the land of Israel, what they're showing is, no, we're not afraid of the world. We're going to go and conquer. We're going to go Mesiras Nefesh. Well, yeah, we're not trying to disconnect from the world. It's time to be. It's better for the sheep. But we have no problem dealing with the world. We're going to go fight. And we're not looking to get disconnect from the world. Now, since in the world, there's two different ways of serving Hashem. You know, as we know, there's the ones that learn Torah, and then there's the ones that do mitzvot. But on the other hand, even though it's two different ways, but they all have to be intertwined. You know, it's because someone said, I only learn Torah. No, you don't even have Torah itself. You have to have Torah and do mitzvot. Because, and specifically, Gemilas Chasadim, helping people out, which is the general idea of mitzvot. And even those that do mitzvahs, and they say, oh, I'm only busy doing... No, you have to also learn Torah as well. At least a chapter in the morning and a chapter in the evening, or a verse in the morning and a verse in the evening. So when they said, we're going to go ahead and we're going to, even though we want to be to go to our sheep, are willing to go fight and go into the land, they show that they're really not 100% want to be disconnected from the world, but they do want to do what's needed. And but on the other hand, their main thrust was to learn Torah and to be more in a meditative state, but we're willing to do our part as well. The Rebbe says, understand this even deeper, the Rebbe says, and also understand what we see, the difference between the tribe of Reuven and Gad versus the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the rest of the tribes, because the fact is the Avos, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the tribes, they also took care of sheep, and they didn't have to have a condition. However, when it came to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, they have to have a condition. They're going to go on Mesiras Nefesh, and also Moshe Rabbeinu had to actually rebuke them. And it wasn't only enough that he gave them the condition, but he had to actually give them some constructive criticism. And only through the constructive criticism that affected that whatever they were doing was done in a perfect way. Joseph says, "Understand this. We're going to understand this with an introduction. We're going to look at the difference between in the tribes itself the difference." Till now we're talking about the difference between Gad and Reuven and the rest of the tribes. Now we're looking at the difference between Yosef, Hatzadik, and the rest of the tribes. Because we know the tribes, they took in the sheep, just like the patriarchs took in the sheep. However, Yosef Hatzadik was involved in the world. Why? Because even when he was still at home in the house of his father Yaakov, before he went down to Egypt, he wasn't out in the field all day with the sheep. But he was actually in his father's home. And especially after he went down to Egypt, where he was in the house of Potiphar, so they put him in charge on the whole operation of the house and everything he was in charge of. So and then even when he went into prison, and so the person in charge of the prison gave Yosef responsibility to take care of all the prisoners. And how much more so when he was in Pari's palace, he took care of everything. Pari said, "Everything that has to happen has to go through you, and nobody can do anything without you." And that's one of the reasons why when the brothers came to Egypt, what does it say? They didn't recognize him. Why did they recognize him? Because the brothers were totally disconnected from the world. They couldn't comprehend how is it possible that a person that's busy dealing with running a palace and running the whole country. It's possible that at the same time to be connected to Hashem. They couldn't fathom the concept. But the truth is, even when Yosef HaTzadik was involved in the materialistic world, but at that moment he was totally 100% connected, and even connected more and deeper than his brothers that were totally in meditation out in the field. And that's why they didn't recognize him. Because they did not comprehend you can have such a level that be involved in the world and nevertheless be totally connected with Hashem, even deeper than they were. So what is basically the difference? That when it comes to the tribes and the patriarchs, in Kabbalah it's called, they were Merkafta Tatar, they were the lower level chariot. What does it mean, the lower level chariot? It's called Seder Ishtal, just the way things flow from one level to the next. Now what happens on the lower level, so the world does exist. and because the world exists, yes, the world can distract you. Because on this level, there's two lines. It's either the holiness or the opposite of holiness. As a matter of fact, even Yaakov, who's basically the choicest of all the patriarchs, so what does it say? Vayavek Yishimoi, that the angel fought with him. In other words, like literally two people that are fighting. What does it mean? Why are two people fighting? Because it's one person, in other words, and each one has something different. And like it says that Esav was a brother to Yaakov, which means they are on some level, they have some kind of connection. So that is the lower level, which is called Merkavta Tata, which means that the world does, you can be great, you can meditate, but the world does exist. However, when it came to Yosef HaTzadik, he was a whole different level. He was higher than the source of even Toyu and Tikkun. And it was the source of Esav and Yaakov. And when you connect it on the highest level, there is no opposition whatsoever. It doesn't exist. And therefore, when he was busy with the world, and he was involved in the world, he could be totally connected to Hashem. Because the world is not it's not a distraction. It means nothing to him. It was a job he had to do, but he was connected on a higher level. So when you're on a lower level, the world bothers you. Things bother you. But when you're on a higher level, it means nothing. And that's the difference between Yosef and the Shvatim. And that's why Rebbe says that we find the difference between Yaakov and Yosef. Because we find a powerful difference. Because fact is, when Yaakov was struggling with Esav, he had to find physical, materialistic ways to get out of Esav. And the fact is, when he tried different ways to deal with Esav, it wasn't a sin that he was trying materialistic and physical ways to get out of it. Why? Because even though that Chazal tell us that when Yaakov met Esav, he prostrated himself, and he called himself my master, and because of that, Esav, you know, was king for many, many generations. But we don't say that was considered a sin for Yaakov. Why? Because he was doing things in a natural order. He had a problem with Esav, so he had to prostrate himself down to him. However, when it comes to Yosef HaTzadik, what do we know? What does the Torah tell us? When he asked the butler, and he says, "Go ahead and mention me to Paroi," which is only, hey, tell Paroi I'm here, get me out. He was punished for it. And like the Medrash says, based on the verse, it says, "V'lo yipanel rechavim," that this is Yosef HaTzadik, that he went ahead and he turned to help from the Egyptians. So the question is, one second, what was the sin that Yosef did that he asked for help? With the fact that we know it says in Chovos HaLevavos, that even someone that has to trust 100% in Hashem, but you have to make a keli, you have to make a vessel. And like we know the famous story with Shmuel, that he says, how am I going to go and Saul's going to hear, he's going to kill me. And others, even though he was instructed from Hashem, but he had to find physical ways to protect himself. So if that's the case, what was the sin of Yosef HaTzadik? And the Altarbi asks even deeper. Let's look at his father. His father, well, Yaakov came up with different ploys, materialistic and physical ploys. What's the sin with Yosef HaTzadik that he asked for a little help? But the answer there explains beautifully. He says, because if, like we learned before, you're Merkavat Atar, you're a lower level chariot, and the world does exist. Okay, so if the world exists, you have to find them, you know, solutions with the world to help you. Because the fact is, the world is something by you. And therefore, the world has to agree to try to help you. That is with Yaakov and the Shvatim and the Avos, etc. However, when it comes to Yosef HaTzadik, what do we learn? Yosef HaTzadik, he's a Merkava Elah, he's a high-level chariot. The world doesn't exist. So if the world doesn't exist, he doesn't have to do any physical things to make it high level. When you're on a high level, you don't have to do anything to make it happen. And going ahead and causing materialistic and physical things, someone that's totally above the world, it's actually a downgrade. And since Yosef knew his level, that he's not connected to the world, because he saw that he was in the prison, and even though he was involved in the materialistic world, it was no distraction for him. So Yosef knew that he was Merkafte Allah. He knew he was a high-level chariot. And he saw that he was involved in the world, and the world did not faze him. So since he knew he was on such a high level, so therefore to do anything would be a downgrade. And that's why when he asked the butler to intercede in his behalf, he was punished. And he was there for another 2 years in prison. And there he gives a powerful parable, he says, from the difference between an officer and the king. In other words, when an officer gives some kind of recognition to a simple person, the fact is, the person and the officer, there's some kind of connection. Even though the officer is the officer, and obviously he's much more important than the person, but there is a connection. However, when the king, a great king, gives some kind of recognition to a person, there is no connection. And on the contrary, because there is no connection, and the king is so great, and he makes a recognition to somebody, so that creates a real value. So in other words, when there's something that exists is nothing, and the only reason why the person now is a somebody because the king gave him recognition, so it's not going to go ahead and confuse things. Because the only reason why you became a somebody is because the king gave you that power. So the same thing also ever says on a spiritual level. In the level of godliness, that there's a connection and there's a recognition of the physical world, so then what happens is, yeah, the world is going to distract you. And you have to go ahead and do things physically, materially, to deal with the world. However, when you're dealing with the level of godliness, that the world is nothing, and that's where the level Yosef HaTzadik reached, so then the world shouldn't bother him at all. And then you don't have to go ask for anything to help you. How's the world helping you? You're connected at a much higher level. And there was based on this, we'll also understand what it says about the Baal Shem Tov, that in the beginning, Friday night was a very, very spiritual level. So when people came to ask him about materialistic things, he wasn't able to respond. He couldn't relate to what they're talking about. But the fact is, people needed help. So he prayed, the Baal Shem Tov prayed, that he should come back to reality so he can help the people. So the question is, why do you have to do that? Because the answer is, it's not considered a downgrade. On the contrary, he reached such a high level that the materialistic world means nothing. Because we know Friday night, all the worlds get elevated. And therefore, materialism was a contradiction. But later he was able to elevate himself, that even if he reached a high level, he's still able to deal with the physical world. He was able to bring down the most powerful levels into the world. And that was Yosef HaTzadik. Why? Because we know Yosef HaTzadik, what does it say? Yelaket Zerkesef, he was able to gather all the money. It means even when he's involved in the world, and he was gathering it all, but nevertheless, it did not go ahead and affect his relationship with Hashem. And he was able to stay totally connected. And he was able to bring that connection into the world. And that's how he was able to transform the world. And the general difference between the work of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Shvatim, the besides excluding Yosef, compared to the work of Yosef HaTzadik, is that the Shvatim and the Avos, that's the first transformation. Like in Kabbalah, it's called the transformation of Shem Ban. And in that level, yes, world does exist, and therefore the world will be a distraction. However, Yosef HaTzadik is the higher level of transformation, which is the Shem Ma, and there the world does not as a distraction. Now, these two approaches, where the world is a distraction, it's not a distraction, Yosef, the brothers, the Shvatim, etc., that's before the Torah was given. But once the Torah was given, because what's the whole idea that Torah was given? The Torah was giving down in this physical world. Like we say to the angels, did you go down to Egypt? Do you have an animal soul within you? So in other words, what's the whole idea that Hashem gave us a Torah? To deal with the world and make the physical world a vessel for godliness. So therefore, when the spies came along and they said they wanted to stay in the desert and they didn't want to go into Israel, that's not the intent after the Torah was given. Because now, after the Torah was given, every person has the power that even when you're in the world's not going to bother you. You can be in the world and the world's not going to bother you. You can go ahead and transform the whole world. So therefore, when the tribes of Gad and Bnei Reuven came in long and they said, hey, we want to stay on the other side of the Jordan. No, that was not the intent. But when they said, we're going to go and self-sacrifice. We're going to go and self-sacrifice. We're going to fight for the Jewish people. We're going to fight and go in the front line that they should go into the land of Israel. So in other words, that when they were willing to go on self-sacrifice and realizing that what are they, whatever Hashem wants them to do, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to give them constructive criticism. So it got revealed that even though they were going to stay in the other side of the Jordan, it's not real disconnecting. But it's one of the ways of transforming the world by Torah. But it's not like it's exclusively Torah. And that's why Chazal tell us that there's 10 levels of holiness. And the other side of the Jordan is on a certain level like Israel in reference to the bread that was brought in the temple and the fruits and the omer of sacrifice. And why? Because these are all transforming the world. But nevertheless, even though it has the high levels, the other side of the Jordan, it doesn't come to the holiness of the land of Israel. And the ultimate goal is to live in the land of Israel. And the other side of the Jordan is only a preparation for the land of Israel. And like the verse says, in reference to the other side of the Jordan, that it's an inheritance muvuheles, which means it comes from the expression of toyu, of chaos, which is basically the opposite of living and making a dwelling place for Hashem in the world. Now, even though in generally, like we mentioned before, that the other side of the Jordan, you can bring the two breads, but specifically, in reference to the land of Israel, it's considered chaos, toyu. But the ultimate intent is to come into the land of Israel and to do 39 melachot of a plowing and sowing and transforming the world, elevating the whole physical world. And by coming to the land of Israel, you're able to gather and transform all the sparks, like it says, by Yilaket is called Kesef, Yosef gathered everything. And the third treasure, that's going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. What is that? That's the revelation of the concealed part of the Torah, which can be revealed when Mashiach comes. Like it says, Yishakeni Mashiach's pi, you're going to kiss me from the kiss in the mouth. And Rashi says, what is that referring to? It's referring to the insights of the Torah, which is going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. In other words, when we do our spiritual work, transforming the world in Golus, then we're going to merit the revelation of Chassidus, which is going to be revealed through Mashiach Tzidkenu, and like whatever finishes off, it should happen very, very quickly in our days, in our generation. So let's hope and pray that we merit to have the coming of Mashiach. We're going to experience that beautiful gift of Torah Shel Mashiach, and next week's class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.